morning's scripture reading will be from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching.
Thank you, Tyler. We'll get to that verse, them verses here a little bit later in our lesson this morning. Want to take a look at Colossians, the third chapter there, the first 17 verses. It's kind of where I got my thoughts from this morning, but we'll be moving around a little more than that in the Bible. But Colossians, the third chapter there, we'll read 1 through 17. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuousness, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which also ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Syrian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father to him. I think these verses here have a lot to say. Paul says here to set our minds on things that are above, not on things that are on this earth. I think that's very difficult for us sometimes, but we need to stay focused on that gold, as Paul directed us here. Verses 1 through 5 here tells us what we are not to set our minds on. Verses 12 through 15, he talks about the things that are above: compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness, harmony, love, and peace. And as I was thinking about all these things, I was thinking how many I didn't have before I accepted Christ in my life. The other thought that came to my mind as I was preparing this lesson and reading these verses was the fact that how much God has changed me in my thinking and in my ability to do the things that is right instead of whatever I choose to do. In other words, very selfish individual. He also tells us some of the important ways that we can get our mindset on the things above and keep them there. He tells us to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And in everything you do and say, be thankful and let Jesus be your focus. Very important. I think when we leave this building this morning, we should still have Christ on our mind. We should be thinking about him. And we should try to direct our life so that we reflect that he's a very important part of our life. That's why we're here this morning. We can have the right mindset when we fill our thoughts with God's word. And we can keep the right kind of mindset when we worship with other Christians, such as we are here this morning. We can keep the right kind of mindset when we have the courage to admonish one another. I think little things that don't really amount to a lot, but if they irritate you or upset you and I do them things, you need to be able to tell me that they upset you, and I need to consider the fact of what you are trying to tell me to change, and I need to probably change that. But the thing I was thinking about the most and is how God changed me. And I don't know how much God changed each one of you, but you are a changed individual. When you accepted Christ into your life, I know some things in your life and your past changed. And we are changed. We are changed from our past life, and we are changed from our old worldly ways. We are changed to a new way of becoming a Christian. And we look back at this past weekend when some of us went to Sheridan. And I was thinking about them brethren down there. They have a very small number of people. We are so richly blessed here and have so many things to take advantage of. Yet I see a lot of us members not taking advantage of those things. But they were very appreciative of us coming down there and sharing our time with them. Al Schreck talked about socializing with the brethren, and I've always appreciated being able to be sociable with people, and especially our brothers and sisters, but that's kind of the way Al said it was. Christians, I think when we have the chance to get together with other Christians and do not take advantage of it, we are really missing out. And that is just kind of the way that Al said it. And Al was almost in tears when he said that. So his heart was deep in thought of love and thinking about what he had to say there. A couple of situations that come to mind is, and I think it's very important for us to take part in, and one of them being our monthly social when everybody can get together. And we can have our afternoon service and our lunch downstairs. And then we have our afternoon meeting. And I think the other time is when we dismiss here, like Sunday night and Wednesday night, to participate in another congregation's meeting, to support that meeting as well as the speaker and what's going on there. And sometimes when I look at that, it's almost like it's a written excuse for you to not come to church that at that time or participate in these things. And it's disheartening to me. It's discouraging to me to see our brethren not take advantage and take part in that. I just kind of wonder sometimes what we do if we leave immediately after church and that social. Where do we go and what do we do? The same way with if you don't come to services. What is going on in your life? I don't know. But what is it more important than what's going on here? I think that's very important. We are supposed to be changed from our worldly ways when we have accepted Christ and begun a life anew. Are we to be changed? Yes, we're to be changed. The Bible says we are to be changed. We're a changed individual. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. 1 Samuel 10 and 6. These were some of Samuel's words to Saul when he anointed Saul as king over God's chosen people. He was going to be their leader. He was going to be over Israel. And this is what Samuel said to him. God's promise to Saul was fulfilled, as we read a few verses later. As Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart. And all these signs were fulfilled that day. 1 Samuel 10 and 9. You will be changed. You are changed when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, when you become a part of this church. We're to think about that. And doesn't it sound great? It did to me, from what God changed me from to what I am today versus what I was then. That sounds glorious to me. That sounds great to me. It should sound great to anybody. How wonderful it would be to have our failings and our insecurities removed and to be remade into a different person. And you're looking at a changed person from what I was. This idea has to capture our imagination and have to stir us up. And you know the good news? That invitation and that promise of change has been extended to every one of us. Every one of us, that promise has been extended to. Jesus died so that our lives, Jesus didn't die so that our lives could be improved or upgraded. He died so that we could be transformed, a completely different person. Paul put it this way, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old is gone, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. That promise of newness is in each person who accepts Jesus Christ into your life. I think sometimes we need to capture that idea and keep it first and foremost in our mind. Sometimes the evidence of change is gradual, isn't it? It doesn't come right away. It's a slow process sometimes. Other times, it appears rather quickly, and it happens pretty fast. But the truth remains the same. If God's Spirit lives in us, we will be changed. We will be a changed individual. What is the heart of our worship service to God? What does God want from us? God wants us to give ourselves to Him and surrender our whole being to Him and be used for righteousness and for His purpose. Romans 6:13. Give yourselves to God, surrender your whole being to Him to be used for righteous purposes. Surrender is an unpopular word, isn't it? Surrender. It's disliked almost as much as the word submission. It implies losing, and no one wants to be a loser, do we? We all want to be winners. Surrender evokes the unpleasant image of admitting defeat in battle, or maybe forfeiting a game, or yielding to a stronger opponent. The word is almost always used in negative context. Captured criminals submit to the authorities, don't they? In our competitive world, we're taught to never quit trying, never giving up, and never giving in. So we don't hear much about surrendering. If winning is everything, surrendering is unsinkable. Yet the Bible teaches us that rather than trying to win, succeed, overcome, conquer, we should instead yield, submit, obey, and surrender. And by surrendering to God, we enter into the heart of worship. This is true worship, bringing pleasure to God as we give ourselves completely to Him. Surrendering is best demonstrated in the obedience cooperating with your Creator. You say yes, Lord, to whatever He asked you. In fact, no Lord is a contradiction. You can't claim Jesus as your Lord when you refuse to obey Him. Peter modeled surrender when, after a night of failed fishing, Jesus told him what? Let down your nets. And what did Peter say? Master, we worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Surrendered people obey God's word even when it doesn't make sense. And here it didn't make much sense to Peter, did it? Peter just fished all night and didn't do anything. But he did it because Christ asked him to do it. God is not cruel. He's not a slave driver or bully who uses brute force to force us into submission. He doesn't try to break our will, but He woos us to Himself so that we might offer it freely to Him. God is a lover and a liberator, and surrendering brings freedom, not bondage. Again, as I was putting these thoughts together, I think, like we said there before, surrender is usually always used in a negative form. God turns that around, doesn't He? And He uses it here, makes it a positive thing. When we completely surrender ourselves to Jesus, we discover that He's not a tyrant, but a Savior. He's not a boss, but a brother. And not a dictator, but a friend. I think we have to look at God and think how amazing the things are that God has put in place for us for our worship service. Because we have one another, don't we? We have each other to worship with. We are not simple individuals. We are part of a group. And a group that is to be characterized by loving interactions. The Bible is loaded with instructions on how Christians should respond to each other. We have some one another's here, the statements from the Bible that form the framework of the body of Christ. Love one another, John 13:34. Be devoted to one another, Romans 12:10. Live in harmony with one another, Romans 12:16. Accept one another, Romans 15:7. Agree with one another, 1 Corinthians 1:10. Serve one another, Galatians 5:13. Be kind and compassionate to one another, Ephesians 4:32. Submit to one another, Ephesians 5:21. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another, Colossians 3:13. Encourage one another, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Offer hospitality to one another, 1 Peter 4:9. And there's probably many more. That's the nice part about being a group and being together and being a part of God's worship service, is we're to be kind and affectionate and considerate of one another, even though sometimes we disagree. We're physically humans and we will do that. We will disagree, but we need to try to work that out. We need to try to come to the best conclusion that we can. The body of Christ is a place of acceptance, service, and love. It's a community full of compassion, encouragement, and harmony. A group devoted to humility, forgiveness, and unity. I believe that not only are we changed, but we will change those around us because of this change God has made in us. The body of Christ will be attractive and transforming agents in the world because each of us. I've said many times that when I was living in the past, I used to go to Nelson's and Bev and Larry's and I don't know where all, probably down to Betty and Carol's and have skating parties and so forth, and I was invited and didn't have nothing better to do, so I'd tag along or go to that gathering, and I could see them people had something really good, but I just couldn't figure it out. I didn't know what they had that was so good, but I know they got along. They didn't argue. They didn't fight. Wasn't no beer there. Wasn't any cursing there. It was just different. And to me, that's one of the things that always stuck in the back of my mind, was if I ever change my life, I want to change and be like them people and have a peace and contentment within me. Think about this statement and let it be true with each of us. God, I want to live how you have called me to live. Help me to begin treating all believers with love, compassion, and forgiveness. Show me how to humbly serve those around me. And I think that's what Christianity is all about. Love, humility, serving those around you, and thinking about that. In conclusion then, why do we seem to choose worldly friends and activities over our church brethren and sisters and our church activities? There has to be a reason for that. There has to be a reason you would rather be with the worldly people than with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe the thing that came to my mind was because we might spend a lot more time with our worldly friends and worldly activities. Therefore, we know a lot more about them and we feel encouraged to spend time with them. But don't you think if you spent more time with brothers and sisters in Christ and enjoyed the activities that they participate in, that might encourage you to be more interested in being with them than with the world? The other thought came to mind was, where do I want to spend eternity? And who am I going to spend eternity with? Who will be there? It will be God's people. That's who it will be. You will not see no worldly people that live worldly and don't put Christ in their life there. They won't be there. We've all heard all the many excuses why people do not come to church. And most of them don't hold water. But they make sense to them. Hebrews 10:19-25. Tyler read this morning. We need to think about what the Lord tells us in this passage. And he says, consider how we stir each other up and encourage each other. Worship with other Christians is a time when we can draw near to God. You're probably as close to God as you can be on this earth right now when you're assembled in church services this morning. Also, we forget sometimes to realize how much our worship means to other. If you're not there in that worship service or that activity, then there's a lot of people that's not going to be encouraged. And that's what Christianity's all about, is to look for ways that you can encourage people and you can stir people up. Verse 24 there says, "Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works." Consider here in this verse means that we should deliberately look for ways that we can stir each other up. We should think about encouragement very seriously. This morning we hope that we haven't discouraged anybody. We hope we have encouraged you and give you some food for thought about participating more with church activities and church meetings. Sometimes we have church meetings that a week at a time and see very few people there, but to me it's very encouraging to me to be a part of them meetings. The other thing is we've always loved to socialize with people. Even in my past life, that was something I always enjoyed. I don't know. It's very difficult for me if I try to hold a conversation with you and you don't have nothing to say. But I think about a lot of the elder ladies in the congregation, how you can have a conversation with them and they can be so encouraging to you in that conversation and they talk as much as you do. And to me, it's very important that we socialize. And that's what Brother Al said. It's here. I think they had about 15 members there, if I remember right. I used to go to my aunt's church and we had our reunion down there and there's like 6 or 8 members in that congregation. And I just think we are so blessed here that we need to keep strong and we need to keep encouraging one another. And the way you encourage is to stir each other up. We'll leave those thoughts with you. If you have not accepted Christ in your life, if you've not changed your ways, we give you that opportunity this morning to come forth and be baptized, accept Christ as your Savior. Or if you wish to bring something else before the congregation that we can help you with, we'll give you that opportunity as we stand and sing the invitation song.